We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Ay. Somebody in around the corner of my house is wondering, you better not talk over that first line. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
There is a unique story about your house.
I'll tell my story. I will absolutely tell my story because it's nothing I haven't told the public before. Anyway, remember, you can check us out on radio.com, the radio.com app, and all your devices, including smart speakers.
And can I say good morning to all of our people who are still having to get work done, the truck drivers who are out there driving, moving things around. So they still have to work throughout this pandemic. They're still continuing to do what they do. Our healthcare workers, man, we tip our cap to you every day for the job the guys are doing. Public service people who are working for the city and different municipalities in the area, just keeping things moving in our community. And then people continue to shelter in place if that's your choice. Some parts of the state are being, businesses are being reopened. You have that option if you care to do it. But be safe in whatever it is you do. I think it's a Sunday morning. I think most church services are still going to be online. I think there are some churches that do a little parking lot of the church service, Greg, some little parking lot church. If you drive to the church, park in the parking lot, and you don't have to get out of your car, there are a number of churches that do that, I think. But for the most part, people will be watching and probably watching online and, of course, listening to our friend downstairs and around the corner for us in the Kia Studios. Larry Tinsley.
A Sunday morning gold standard.
Absolutely. Yeah. He is that. We don't know what suit he's got on this morning.
Yeah. By the way, my wife probably thanks you for just going on right there, and you just kept talking, so now I don't have time to tell the story I was going to tell. So we'll move
Why not?
On. I was going to, no, because you just kept going there. Right, it had been nice fun when that music was going, but now the music's over with, and so we have to move on now. So, but that was great information you just gave, and that was more important than my story. So we'll save it for.
Why not?
We have time.
No. We don't. Because otherwise, I'm going to make people tell stories, and they ain't going to do that. So we're going to move on from
well,
that.
We played the music.
So,
okay.
I know. It was a great song. It was my song.
All right.
It was my
All right.
song for the longest time. We have not talked to any Falcons, guys. We have not talked to any NFL, guys. We have not talked about the move that took place yesterday with the, what's his nickname? The red-headed rifle or whatever? Andy Dalton? What's his nickname?
Is it Red Rifle?
The Red Rifle, is it? The Red Rifle.
Yeah.
That was Chuck Connors. He is now a Cowboy. Did you see that coming?
For one year.
Hey, he's a Cowboy. Did you see that coming? And what does that then make you think about Jerry Jones's position as far as what he's going to do with Dak now? Because Dak he's got a contract sitting out there. But it's a franchise contract, and he may not want to get that. It's going to make him a lot of money, but he wants a long-term deal, and they have not come to any agreement. Stephen Jones came out this past week talking about, we're going to get something done here. Of course, he said all the right things. But now them bringing Andy Dalton on, mainly because Andy lives in Dallas, and he didn't want to move the family. But
we'll see what happens with that. When you talk about quarterbacks around the league, it still brings, there are two more questions there. Cam Newton, where does he land? You know, there's still a place for him. Of course, the question with him is health. But we know what he's accomplished and what he can accomplish when healthy. And when he's healthy, is he better than Andy Dalton? I think so. But, you know, the thing of it is, you know, where does he land and what kind of condition is he in to contribute once he gets there? The other thing is your hometown and they're declining the fifth-year option on the guy that they've supposedly made this great commitment to in Trubisky. And you know, like I said, watch what happens. You said it can't happen. What? Aaron Rodgers in 2 years will get a chance to play for the Bears.
He's not coming to the Chicago Bears.
Why can't he? Why can't he?
Why can't he? Yes, he can.
Yeah, we're watching the Last Dance where Robin and Sally came from Detroit and played in Chicago.
No, he didn't come from Detroit. He came from San Antonio. Okay.
Well, he had played in Detroit. And he had played in Detroit.
He played in Detroit, but he didn't come from Detroit to Chicago.
He came and played Chicago, but he came to Chicago. You think the folks in Chicago have forgotten what he did when he was in Detroit?
No, absolutely not. But again,
I know.
See, this is what Sam does here. I got to back him up a little bit here because he's trying to run me over the dump truck. Now, you got to remember there's some things in play that aren't in play with the football part of this. In Dennis Rodman's case, he was at the bottom of the barrel. He didn't know what was going on with his career while he was there in San Antonio. And the best player in the league and the best coach, well, you can argue that, came after him. Phil Jackson came after him because they knew what they needed to fill a spot with Horace Grant being gone. So they needed him. And you're going to bring Dennis Rodman. If there's one person Dennis Rodman is going to listen to in the NBA, it's Michael Jordan. And then by extension, Phil Jackson. Aaron Rodgers coming straight from Green Bay to the Bears. Who is he going to listen? Who's on the Bears right now that he's going to listen to? You need somebody who you respect on that team.
He's not coming to be in the capacity that Rodman would be. He's coming in as a quarterback.
But he wants to play on a team that looks like they're ready to compete for a championship.
And with Matt Nagy,
there's people in Chicago who ain't sure that Matt Nagy's the dude for you. So to your thought, no, you'd be hard pressed to find five people who believe that's a scenario that'll play out. Aaron Rodgers getting mad at Green Bay and going to the Bears. Listen, the Bears haven't had a top quarterback in forever.
That's the thing. The Bears need consistency in that position.
Yeah, they haven't had it since McMahon, and that really wasn't that consistent. But listen, Foles is there. Okay, so that's the competition. That's what we need to see. And there are three people's heads on the chopping block. Nagy, the coach, you got Trubisky, and, you know, Foles is going to do something. He's got to do something, and he's going to be getting more money than Trubisky right now. But at least he's got a Super Bowl ring. He knows what it's like to be in that playoff situation. Nobody else there does. But I see other people landing in Chicago long before I see Aaron Rodgers. And I think Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to play someplace, is going to be in his home state, and that's California. He's been playing in the worst weather in the NFL all these years. I want to get out to some sunshine. And you don't think that there are teams out there that would make room for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, they got stability at the quarterback spot. We're talking about a team that doesn't have stability at the quarterback spot.
And there's a number of teams like that.
That's happening. There's definitely a situation with the Bears. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning.
You're
and
just trying to push
talk
my
some
buttons.
NFL. No, we expect this week to hear that the NFL schedule is going to remain the same and that it's not going to change. We don't know if it's changed the preseason, but we expect to hear that the league will start on time. And that's news because now if they make that official this week, the countdown comes on to how long we're going to see players go to the facilities individually, collectively, and start some form of a mini camp or training camp, but that will start on time. And the Falcons made a move. A couple of things came out this week. Tack McKinley declined a fifth-year option, trying to light a fire under him to get out and produce this season. I don't know how you feel about that, Greg. Need some pass rush. And then they picked up Charles Harris to try to help get some more pass rush this season. He's coming over from the Miami Dolphins.
You know, my whole thing has always been what this offense is going to look like. I mean, I could speculate on what the defense is going to look like. They filled some holes, obviously the big one at cornerback, but I still waiting to see what kind of protection the quarterback is going to get. By the way, in a related story, do you know what today is the anniversary of?
What's that?
Matt Ryan become the first $30 million per season NFL player.
Whoa.
When he signed his contract in 2018, on this date, he became the NFL's first $30 million per season player. You know, I don't know how that makes y'all feel. I'm just saying this was an anniversary of that. And do you feel like he's lived up to it?
Well, it's what the market will bear.
Yeah, and no, I understand
like I said,
that.
That's what he's entitled to make. He's shown up every Sunday. And I know if the quarterback gets the heat, if the team doesn't do what people think it should do or has the potential to do, dude shows up every week. And the numbers bear out. The Falcons have some issues. I don't think we can lay it totally on Matt.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
I've never felt that.
No.
Do you want more? Absolutely, you want more. Not just because of the money that he's made, but because of the potential of this offense when everyone's healthy and out there playing. That's where you want more. And because we've seen more. We've seen this team in a different incarnation because so many of the faces have changed now. Make it all the way to the big game. So that's the thing that leaves you wanting more with Matt Ryan. But, you know, to me, you say if Phillip Rivers is going to the Hall of Fame, this guy's going to go there too. He's gone further in the season than Phillip Rivers has, and we'll see what Rivers does this year in a new place. But, you know, Ryan has done those things. And the offense, to me, I'm not that concerned about. You got to apply the brakes. You got to put some – you just drafted a rookie corner who potentially you're going to put out there to start this season. Really is going to go in and fighting for a starting job, and we'll see how that all works out. You know you need more pass rush. You want to get more pass rush because you got a couple of great but aging quarterbacks in your division that you're going to face twice. So that's crucial as well. So those are the things that, you know, you want to see now, how this team stacks up on defense, especially up front, to help out that young secondary now and those young corners who are going to need some pass rush to give them opportunity to make some plays.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, what I was saying about Matt Ryan, I was giving you the numbers, but we all want to see more from him, but I wasn't – my statement about the offense was about it in its totality. Because, you know, you talked about him going farther than Phillip Rivers. And, yeah, that's what's maddening about the lack of success, or there should be more success because these guys have got names attached to their own name. They've got alphabet soup attached to their names. You got MVPs and you got Super Bowl participants and you got all the stuff that's attached to this offense and members of it. And you would think you want to see more. And you should see more.
Right.
And it's not happened. And so that's the maddening part of it. And so that's where I focused, you know, my thing. And you always hear what's going on with the offensive line. Okay. Well, then that's where my focus has been. And hoping. Because we don't know. And you talked about the other guys in the league. Listen, was it Tayshaun Hill? He got a whole bunch of money from New Orleans. So the teams that come in and play the Saints that have a strong pass rush, they got Drew Brees on one hand. Oh, we can make this adjustment to this guy who drives folks crazy, much like Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. So they have those options. I wish the Falcons had those options on the offensive side of the ball. So they make you just sort of nervous about where they're going to go with each play. And I wish that the hometown team had that too. And they made people worry about that as much as those teams do, just a few of them. But everything that you described, I think you could say that about every team. They wish they had this. They wish they could see more from this player, this skill position player. They need to shore up the pass rush. All of that can be said. But whatever happens, as far as I'm concerned, and what I think this team, this Falcons team, is going to have to get out of the gates fast and let people know, oh, yeah, by the way, we were in the Super Bowl a few years ago, and we've got everybody healthy, and we're back. And they can't just, like, ease into it. They got to start knocking people in the mouth right out of the chute.
I agree with that. The start is, and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, Greg, because a lot happens to go on with camp. We know how training at camp has gone in recent years. We know how little we see of the frontline players in those preseason games. And we felt like we saw the result of it at the start of the season when the team still looked like they were still in training camp in the first games. That's the thing you wonder about with this team, and especially coming out of this situation that we're in, considering this crisis that we're dealing with that has prevented people from working out together or even visiting the facility. This week, let's hope we hear that the facility is going to open soon and the guys at least start going in, get looked at by the team physicians, working out together, and then to get a chance to get on the field. This is going to be a big week coming up.
Well, along those same lines, there are some facilities that are being talked about being open, two of which are some in the NBA and also our own Atlanta United. The voices for both of those, in a roundabout way, Mike Conti, our own Mike Conti, the hardest working man in sports, is going to join us next to talk about Atlanta United and our Atlanta Hawks next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
It's Sam and Greg. Remember, you can check us out on radio.com and all your devices, including smart speakers. We are joined now by a guy who we not only have the highest regard for and respect for, easily one of the hardest working men in sports in the city of Atlanta. I know this embarrasses the you-know-what out of him, but we just love
That's
having
okay.
him on,
That's
man.
Okay. That's okay. It's true. It's
yeah, it
true.
Is. It is. But before we get into the sports end of it, we haven't had a chance to talk to Mike in a few weeks. Mike Conti joins us. How have you been? The family doing okay? And did you get a chance to get out and see the Blue Angels yesterday in the Thunderbirds?
Yeah, hey, guys. No, I didn't. We live in a very shady lot, and we don't get to see too many airplanes here. And I think we were just a little too far away to catch the Blue Angels. But I saw the video. It looked awesome. Looked like they did a great job. So very cool to see. It's been a beautiful weekend. I know a lot of people are getting out and enjoying it and trying to social distance as they enjoy it, which is great. But the Blue Angels definitely added a lot to it yesterday.
They did add a lot to it. How's everything else been going, though? You didn't see the Blue Angels. How things are at home and you sheltered in place? You guys started
to
venture out a little
Sam,
bit more?
Thanks. Yeah, we're healthy, and I've actually been kind of recalled into the office a little bit over the last week or two. So, you know, it's nice to get back in the office and kind of get back into that routine a little bit. And now just kind of waiting and seeing and hoping for some live sports to return pretty soon. I know 2 weeks from today we'll have a NASCAR Cup Series race, so that's a start. I think we have UFC next week, so that's a start too. And slowly but surely, I'm optimistic, but I just really think and hope that as the summer goes along, we're going to be getting back to more and more, and it might not be with fans at first, but I'm very optimistic that at some point pretty soon, we're going to get the NBA and Major League Baseball and MLS and the National Hockey League all doing something.
That's what I was saying to our listeners this morning, Mike, throughout the morning, that I think this is going to be a pivotal week, so to speak, as far as getting players back into the training facilities, solidifying some type of plan. We hear the NFL schedule is due to come out this coming week, and we think they're going to start it on time. At least the plan is to start it on time. And also we hear closer to home that facilities are due to be open for MLS teams and possibly by the NBA by the end of the week. Talk about MLS in Atlanta United. What do you think will be the first things they will need to do as those players reassemble and start to come back in this week?
Well, what they're doing this week is a very, very tiny baby step. It's not a return to training camp. It's not a return to even small group activity. Basically, what they're doing is they're allowing Atlanta United and clubs in other states and cities that don't have a stay-at-home order in place basically to open up their outdoor practice fields, but only for individual training and only voluntary individual training. So it can only be one person at a time, can't be coaches or anything like that. And basically, I think the league was looking at it as, well, I mean, we can have these guys running around in a public park, or we can have them running around in a little bit of a safer environment at a team facility. So that's all that is. It might have been a trial balloon to see if there'd be any pushback or blowback to that. I'm not sure. So I don't know if this would set the stage for kind of the next step, which would be small group training, where maybe you get two or three players together and they train in a small group, and then you go from there to maybe having the full team back. But that could take a while. And everything I've heard is that it's going to require 4 to 5 weeks for teams to have kind of a second mini training camp before they can start playing games again. And then what are the games going to look like? Are they going to be played in home stadiums? Are they all going to go out to Las Vegas, which I've seen a report about? Are they all going to go to, you know, a couple different neutral sites around the country and play closed-door matches? I don't think that's been fleshed out yet. I think they're getting closer, Sam. I mean, to your point, I think they are getting closer to having a plan. But as of right now, teams cannot get together and train as large groups until at least May 15th, which is still about 2 weeks away. And that could be pushed back again. So it's a tiny little baby step to open up the outdoor fields to individuals. But I think, unfortunately, Sam, we still have a long way to go in this.
This is Mike Conte, radio voice, along with Jason Longshore of Atlanta United, also pre- and post-game for our Atlanta Hawks. Joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mike, this is something that I have been struggling with and wondering how the leagues, all of them, are going to deal with this. But Atlanta United, much like the NHL, where you get a lot of players, and Major League Baseball for that matter, where you get a lot of players who aren't American.
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to get back? Do we know the percentage of Atlanta United players that stayed here, that live here in town, or that went back to their home countries and may have a bit of a trouble getting back here?
Major League Soccer did not allow any of their players to leave the country. And in fact, they discouraged those players from leaving even their home market. You had to get permission from the club and the league. Like, for example, if an Atlanta United player wanted to go back to Chicago, they would have had to have gotten permission from the league to do that. The league wanted to keep all of its players as close to training facilities as possible, basically to avoid the situation you're talking about, Greg, where it could be a mess to get everyone back in the country and back into their home market. So, you know, once Major League Soccer gets the green light, they should be okay in that regard. I'm not aware of any players on any of the teams in this league that were allowed to leave the country.
We've been hearing more conversations surrounding the NBA and its players coming back, or the league coming back, than we have MLS. Your thoughts on any of these leagues coming back, whether it's one or two players at a time in the gym or on the pitch doing whatever sort of exercises or scrimmages or whatever. What are your thoughts on them getting together? Moreover, we've been talking about the players. We haven't been talking so much about the people connected with the teams, the officials too, the people that have to go out and be a part of every game day experience.
Yeah, I mean, in the NBA, everything I've heard, and I think Adrian Wojnarowski even reported this, is when the NBA gets back, they really are going to keep a very limited number of people in the arena. Under 35 is what I was told, which is basically the two teams, three referees, three scorers. That's it. No broadcasters, no fans, no ancillary team staff. You know, none of that. 30 people, that's it, or 35, and that's it. But you still have to take the first step, which is get these teams back into a training camp. Everything I've heard is that the NBA would need 2 weeks of a kind of individual, I don't know if it'd be cardio or just getting shots up or whatever, and then 2 weeks of five-on-five before they could get back to playing games. But the NBA still has to figure out where these games are going to be played. The sense that I'm getting is that the Major League Baseball model that was reported on this week by USA Today might end up being what happens with everyone. The National Hockey League apparently is trending in this direction too, where there was talk where they would just get all the teams together in one location, lock down all the players, and play out the season. The players have really strongly objected to that. They don't want to spend months away from their families. And I certainly could see and understand why. So this proposal by Major League Baseball, where you would at least cut down the travel by, aligning teams geographically, and, you know, the Braves wouldn't have a flight longer than 2 hours to get to a road game, but you would play in home stadiums to at least allow players to spend time with their families. I wouldn't be shocked if that's where the NBA ended up going in all of this, but they still need to figure out the logistics and a plan. And unfortunately, I think they're still months away from playing. You know, the NBA, there was that report last weekend that they were going to open team facilities on May 1st. Well, there was a lot of pushback to that, so they had to delay it a week. Is there going to be a lot of pushback if they open up on Friday? I think the NBA is really, really sensitive to concerns that are being put out there by players and team executives, but also fans who are kind of rejecting this notion that, you know, now is an appropriate time for teams to start getting back to practice. So I think the NBA is really, really conscious of that. But Greg, to your point, I just don't think there's going to be this light switch flipped even this week saying, okay, you know, facilities are open, 4 weeks of practice, and we're back to work. I think it's going to take longer than that. And I think a lot of it has to do with just making sure that it is 1,000% safe to get the players and everyone else associated with it back into the building.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Mike Conte. He is social at Mike Conte 929, at Mike Conte 929 on Twitter. Mike, you talk about other people other than just the players. NBA has made a bit of a concern over older members of their coaching staff, older coaches, people who work with team staff, people who are along that line of that age where the COVID-19 virus has really been affecting people. They're people of that age with all major league franchises, assistant coaches or people who work in some type of supporting role. Thoughts about how they're going to have to deal with that as well. It's more than just the players that the teams have to be concerned with.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really don't know what you do with that. I think that's a larger societal question. I mean, are we just going to be okay with going about our daily lives, but if you're over the age of 65, you have to stay locked out of your job? I don't know what the league does with that. I think there's a sense that with a large degree of testing, you can minimize the risk to those older staff members where, you know, if you get everyone together and you test everyone and everyone tests negative, then it's probably safe for that, you know, 65-year-old general manager or assistant coach or whatever to be around. You know, maybe that's possible. But I think we need to get used to the fact that this virus is not going away. It's going to be around. And even if these leagues start back up, guess what? You're probably going to have people over the course of the rest of the season testing positive here or there at some point. So what does that mean? Do you shut everything down, or do you isolate the people who have tested positive and you keep going? And I don't know if there's really been an answer to that. But I think it's unrealistic to assume that, yeah, let's say the NBA starts up July 1st. I think it's unrealistic to assume that even with a large degree of testing that you're going to go from July to Labor Day and not have someone in the NBA bubble test positive. So that's probably a big part of what they're discussing right now and trying to plan their way through.
It's Mike Conte joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mike, I want to bring you in before we let you go on a conversation Sam and I had earlier in the show. Your just thoughts as a sports fan. With the G League and the NBA stepping up, the minor league of the NBA is finally doing what it, well, should have been doing for a long time ago. They're putting good money for top players and sort of inching away from making college basketball their own minor league. Now, college basketball may not like it. We've been dealing with the one and done for years. The money that's now available to these top recruits coming out of high school and what they can get, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think the money, it's always been there. You know, if someone wanted to go from high school to the professional ranks without playing in college, they could just go play overseas, you know, Turkey, China, Italy, something like that. So the money's always been there. It just now creates an avenue for these players to do it domestically. I just don't see it being this death knell to college basketball that everyone has assumed. I think every time there's a rule change about eligibility and allowing, you know, players to bypass college and go straight to the pros, there's been this assumption that, well, that's the nail in the coffin for college basketball. College basketball always seems to survive just fine because of the NCAA tournament. So I don't think you're going to see, and I could be naive on this, I don't think you're going to see this huge abdication of college basketball by the best high school age talent in this country. I think the cream of the crop are still going to be going to Duke and Kentucky and, you know, Louisville, North Carolina, all those big programs. But it is interesting. I mean, it does create another avenue for you know, American-born players to make some money domestically and not have to go play in Turkey or China or something like that. So I'll be curious to see how it all plays out.
The thing I'll be curious about too, Mike, is if these guys go there and they don't do what people think they're going to do, and they're being in the G League for a second season,
right,
where they could have picked their season in college as well. So, I mean, there's no guarantees. We'll have to see how it works out. Look, we thank you for spending some time with us on this Sunday morning. Always great to have you on our show.
Absolutely.
And I always like the hardest working man in sports. I always says he's the hardest working man on the ninth floor.
I don't even know about that, to be honest with you. I think Sean Thompson would probably win that award. But good talking to you guys as always, and we'll talk again really soon.
All right, Mike, appreciate it.
All right, that is Mike Conte. Always great spending some time. All right, Greg, we still got some more business to take care of here.
And we
got
some
things going on tonight, something to watch. We got a race coming up today, and we got more races coming up. We're going to get into that and more when we come back. All right. We're going to do that. Stay with us as we continue and come back to Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. We're available through the radio.com app on your smart devices and your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
It is a beautiful looking day out there.
It is.
I mean, it's just one of those, and you know, it's like running out. You want to do all kinds of stuff. And you go, oh yeah, wait, this may not be a good idea. But individually, or with the dog and walking around, this is a great day for that. I want to remind you, you guys can also check us out on radio.com and all your devices, including smart speakers. Is there any weeds left in your yard yet, man?
Oh, man.
I got mine, too.
You get rid of it. Yeah, you told me about that. You got that all solved, right?
Well, they're going to come back. But you know what I'm dealing with, though? And I'm sure there's some other folks. There's, you know, normally if you have your house, you know, sprayed for bugs in the spring, you know, you get that kind of over with and you're good for a little while. Or ants, you know, just spring life. Stuff starts blooming, the critters start maneuvering around, and some get in your house, some get, you know, around your house, they're going up the wall, and you get that sprayed up, and a lot of folks didn't get that this spring, because you didn't want nobody coming in your house. And when I was coming up here this morning, I stepped on something that I'm glad I caught instead of, you know, my wife or Jesse. Because I would have heard a noise. But it's just, listen, make the most of this time, man. And you know what the rules are. You know what you can and you can't do. But you don't have to be locked inside. So if it's just, you know, lift up your garage door and put a patio chair out there and sit and drink and bring a little portable TV if you got one of them, whatever.
That's good. That'll work.
Just get yourself
out there.
Doing that
today. It's true. That's true. We always talk about if it's a game day. It is a race day Sunday. We can say that because, once again, there is racing on the virtual track. NASCAR, of course, announced this week that the real races will be back in a couple of weeks. But, of course, you know, they went out and they're going to have the virtual race today at Dover, Delaware on the virtual track. The IndyCars did one yesterday at Indianapolis. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the virtual track there, so it's cool. But the next NASCAR will be back on November 17th. And Ryan Newman, good news, had that frightening crash, head injury at Daytona, is going to be back, and he will be able to ready to race on November 17th when they race up at Darlington. So I think that's something people will look forward to seeing. Remember the frightening crash and that he walked out of the hospital just several days later, but not able to get back into the car. So NASCAR has a rather ambitious schedule for the week of May 17th. They don't race next week. They don't race on Easter. They don't race on Mother's Day. So back on the 17th at Darlington, a 400-mile race there. The next day, two days later, the 19th, the Xfinity Series race at Darlington. They come back on that Wednesday, and we'll have a primetime and nighttime race there at Darlington. That's two races on the same track in the period of 4 days. So they got a very ambitious 11-day plan. From there, they go to Charlotte. They're going to have a cup race on the 24th, Xfinity race on the 25th, the trucks on the 26th, and another cup race on the 27th. So that's their plan for coming back. Of course, right now the plan is just for the racing, not the fans, but just like we mentioned with Mike Conti, the people who have to be there, the safety crews, the people who have to be there to be a part of it. It can't just be just the drivers and the racing crews. And those folks have to be in place as well. But that's the plan to come back for that. Of course, golf plans to come back in June. The PGA Tour is going to resume then. So there's some things that are going on and that are planning some live sports. It's just around the corner. We want to see the team sports, obviously. That's the team we're watching for. But NASCAR, and they've been the one who've come out on top of this because they've been able to put a product out there each and every week that looks like and sounds like and feels like what they normally do with a lot of the names that we're used to seeing. So to me, they've been a winner during this time that we've been dealing with coronavirus.
Unless one of their daughters comes in and unplugs the unit and they get pulled. Was that, who was that? Was that Ryan Newman's daughter?
Oh, yeah, somebody. Yeah, somebody was doing
daughter
that.
Daughter came in the room while the race was going on and daddy, I thought it was Ryan Newman, but I could be wrong. But whoever it was, I'm sure you can see the footage. And his daughter didn't want to hear about nothing that daddy was doing. She just wanted to play with him. And came in, and he's like, I'm in the middle of this right now. I can't talk. And next thing you know, the daughter, you didn't really see her actually pulling the plug, but that was general consensus. Daughter says, all right, fine. How do you like this? And everything went black. And he was beyond you-know-what after the race. He was beyond
mad. Once
again,
it's been the access. The thing that's been fun about it has been the access that you're able to get to the drivers and watch. And I think that's going to be the premium thing going forward. With whatever the experience is sports-wise, is having access. Because the fans won't be able to go to the events and sit in the stands and have that kind of contact. Where else can you put a camera? Where else can you hear the reactions, things as a real time as they happen? I think those are things that the sports are going to have to figure out a way to even further enhance the viewing experience, because that's what we're going to be having to live through in the coming weeks and months.
You know whose name came up this past week? And I was talking to Pops. Ed Clark, Atlanta Motor Speedway. And I want to give him a shout out, and I'm sure you will echo these thoughts. I feel just horrible about the way, you know, this was his retirement year, right? Ed Clark was going out, and I mean, he'll still be affiliated in some capacity with Atlanta Motor Speedway, but this was going to be the last race where he was going to be president of Atlanta Motor Speedway. And we've known Ed for years. He comes on. He's a friend of the show. But my father, just out of nowhere, while I was talking to him this past week, and we were talking about sports and things, I think I was telling him, we were talking about The Last Dance. And then we started talking about some of these sports that are doing virtual games and races and things like that. And I don't know that he's going to sit and watch those. But when I mentioned the racing going on, he asked about Ed and when was the race here. And I had to tell him that it was, you know, a while back, but it was postponed and so on and so forth. But how we feel about Ed not able to take a final bow.
Yeah, I know.
The way he should be able
I
to
know.
Run an Atlanta Motor Speedway for all these years.
And that's the thing. He's going out along with this. Of course, Jimmy Johnson's last year as a competitor, and he was supposed to be the grand marshal of that race, give the command to fire the engines from his car. And that didn't have a chance to happen. It's tough for Ed for that to happen. Of course, the race has been postponed, not canceled, so we look to see what happens when they reschedule it. It could be a nighttime race, since they do have lights at Atlanta Motor Speedway. That would be nice. It may not be on the weekend. It may be midweek. NASCAR is coming back with a plan to do some racing and prime time where the lights are during the nighttime. So it could be a really grand event if they're still able to pull it off and do it. It could be a spectacular event.
Well, it was just – I just wanted to take a second and let him know we were thinking about him. And at some point, hopefully, he gets to take – a final bow or acknowledgement in front of his crowd. I'm sure they put him up on some kind of jumbo screen. But we were thinking about that this past week. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. We heard some great stories throughout the show, which, by the way, you can catch online, again, at 92.9thegame.com. And throughout the show at different points, we've been talking about things to watch tonight. And obviously, episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance are going on. Me personally, Billions comes back tonight. And Mr. Crenshaw, what are you looking forward to?
I'm watching those things, and something else I've been watching on Sunday night, for those of us who lived in Atlanta for a very long time, HBO has done a pretty good documentary, or an excellent documentary, really, on Atlanta Missing and Murdered. And that was really a frightening time in our city back in the late 70s, early 80s. They revisited that and revisited a lot of the people who were involved with it, and someone who's downstairs and around the corner. Also, on weekend mornings, Frank Ski shows up in it. And so I think tonight is the fifth and final episode of that. So that's at 8, and then at 9 and 10, or Last Dance. So that's kind of, you know, what I've been doing for Sunday nights the last 3-4 weeks has been good reliving some of that, as well as someone who was living here and just getting started in the business and was working at the station up the street there, and was seeing certain people walk the hallways not knowing that they were going to be someone that would become quite infamous. In that case that was happening. So, yeah, it's been, you know, for me personally and for those of us who lived in Atlanta during that time, to see that given a high-profile treatment.
When you saw those, on a more lighter note, getting back to the episodes you saw last week, what was your takeaway from it? The whole Rodman thing, the trip to Vegas, all of that stuff. Because as we get into this week, like I said, I don't know everything that's going to be shown, and I really don't want to. But
you know what I took away from it. You know what I took away from it is watching social media. Carmen Electra still looks good.
Yeah,
that's
what
I got out last week.
Yeah, she is an accident waiting to happen. You see her walking down the street, bam, right into a pole. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
and
you know
I'm sure
I mean?
She was happy to be asked to be a part of it too. But here's
sure.
the thing. Here's the thing. How many people, given what we've seen and his antics and all that, how many people have you heard have a bad word about Dennis Rodman?
Yep.
Not
especially
one.
Not on the court.
Well, you period. Know, no. I haven't heard two people in that talk about. In fact, it was more about feeling sorry for the guy. And talking about how, you know, Dennis, these people are just hanging out with you to just bleed you dry, you know, as far as money and party and all that stuff. But yeah,
he got around some people that he learned, especially folks like Madonna, who said, you know what, go and do you, don't care. You know, because, you know, Madonna, she, as long as you spell her name right, she really don't care what you say. And I think it kind of helped him get to that place. Okay, say what you want to, but when the lights go on, I'm on the court and it's time to play ball, I go out and handle my business. And that's the way he went about doing things. And that's all Michael Jordan cared about.
Yeah, and now that we're past that whole Pistons thing, I think the next little ditty they're going to get into is those periods when he left the team. You know, we saw LeBron do this stuff, and it's amazing how some of this stuff you can kind of draw a correlation to the modern-day game and the players that are in it. But remember what a blow-up that was when he was playing the Knicks in one of the playoff games, and he just darted off to Atlantic City to do some gambling? And it wasn't like he didn't make it back for the game, but you know, we heard John Smoltz talk about playing him. Michael was all about, you know, the gambling on the side. Any kind of competition. Anything.
Well, he's a very competitive person. And we had a friend of the show, too, Bill Hartman, former sports anchor here in town. He had a chance to play in a pro-am, I think, a week before the Atlanta Golf Classic. And he played in the foursome with Jordan. So we can give Bill a call and tell us a little story about his experience playing golf with Jordan.
Again, we want to thank Jahi for everything he's done, not just on the Sunday, but putting up with us for our calls that we make during the week to him. Mr. Crenshaw, go out and have yourself a great week. I want to say to everybody in our audience, thanks for joining us, and you guys stay safe, and best you can, just go out and make the most of this crazy time that we happen to live in. And final words for you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Just go out and continue to stay safe. You go out, all the precautions in place. Stay safe, stay well. We hope to see you here next weekend.
That's right. From 6 until 10. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on radio.com. All your devices, including your smart speakers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.